Lacey for that song. So there was a man who was concerned about his wife's hearing. Concerned enough that he called her doctor. He said, "Doc, I don't know what's going on, but my wife can't hear anything." Doctor's like, "That's fine. We can get her in about a week, but do this little test for me so we know how bad her hearing is. I want you to say something to her when you're about 40 feet away from her and see if she responds. And if she doesn't respond, then move up 10 feet and say it again until you get a response. That way I know how bad her hearing is and I can better assess it when she comes into the doctor." He said, "All right, I'll try that." So the next evening, he was sitting in the living room and his wife was in the kitchen cooking. He goes, "You know what? This is a perfect time to try this. I'm about 40 feet away from my wife right now." So he goes, "Hon, what's for dinner?" He waited. No response. So he went into the dining room about 30 feet away from where his wife was. And again, he said, "Hon, what's for dinner?" He waited. Still no response. So he went down the hall to his about 20 feet away from his wife and said, "Hon, what's for dinner?" Waited. Still no response. So he goes into the kitchen. He's across the kitchen from her. She's about 10 feet away. He says it again, "Hon, what's for dinner?" He waits. Still no response. So he comes right up behind his wife. He's like, "Hon, what's for dinner? For the fifth time, I told you we're having chicken." You know, I couldn't help but think sometimes that's the way we are with God. Right? We're so busy asking the questions, we don't take time to listen to the answers. And today I want to talk about listening to the voice of God. You know, we have so many voices that we listen to each and every day. We have people on the TV telling us what we should believe. We have people telling us how we should dress. We have people telling us what we should do, how we should spend our money, who should be our friends. We have all these voices, right? Even our phones talk to us. Siri, right? We have one of those Alexa dots we got with our TV service. And it's pretty cool. I mean, if you can do it right, you can turn your lights on and off, and you can do all these other different things. But all we really use ours for is listening to music. But the kids, man, they go ask a ton of questions to that Alexa. It cracks me up. Cannon will come home from school sometimes and have a hard math problem. One of his teachers is here, by the way. He'll have a hard math problem. He'll go up to Alexa and ask Alexa what the answer to the question is. You know what her response is? "I don't know that one." But we have all these voices that we're listening to, and I think sometimes we get overwhelmed by the voices that we're listening to, that we never take time to listen to the voice of God. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you will, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We all know Elijah's story. Brother Jerry preached on it last week. And by the way, Brother Jerry is not sick this morning. They took a vacation day for their anniversary. So, he's not sick. I've had several people ask, "Is he under the weather?" No, he's not. But we know the story of Elijah. First starts in chapter 17 where he goes, what Brother Jerry talked about last Sunday, where he goes to King Ahab. And what does he tell King Ahab? He says, "There's going to be a drought." I can imagine Elijah having a little bit of attitude here, okay? "There's going to be a drought, and it's not going to rain until I say it is," right? It reminds me of Kaylin, my two-year-old daughter. She's got this new thing down that she does with her brothers when they irritate her. She does this foot stomp, and she says, "I told you to stop it." But I can imagine Elijah having a little bit of attitude when he goes to the king and says, "Hey, listen, until I say so, it's not going to rain." And you remember, the voice of the Lord spoke to Elijah and told him to go down to the brook. Just like Brother Jerry preached about last Sunday, that he went down to the brook and the brook provided water. and birds fed him. Some of you would say, I would never let that happen, right? But the birds fed him until what happened? Until the brook dried up. And then the voice of the Lord spoke again to Elijah and told him to go find this widow. And you remember, he goes and he finds this widow. And he says, hey, bake me a cake. Not like a real cake, y'all, just like a cake of bread. And she says, but I'm about to use up all I have left to bake my son and I our last piece of bread so we can die. But he says, bake mine first. That's a prophet for you, right? No. He says, bake mine first and then bake you one. And I promise you that you will never run out of oil and you will never run out of flour. You know what? She trusted him. And guess what? That's what happened. And we see that. We see once again, when he obeyed the voice of God, God provided. Then he has the big showdown against the 450 prophets of Baal, where he calls down fire from heaven. Listen, if God is not instructing Elijah of these things aren't happening. But I want you to understand something. Elijah has to respond to the voice of God. And so he responds to the voice of God, and God does miraculous things. So what happens? Well, he calls down fire from heaven. A simple little prayer, and boom, fire falls from heaven. Consumes everything, even rocks. You ever seen a rock get burned up? I haven't. All the rocks were burned up too. They kill all the prophets of Baal, and guess who's mad? Oh, Jezebel. She's so mad, and she makes the proclamation, by this time tomorrow, you will be dead. Okay, rewind. What has God done in Elijah's life? How has God used Elijah in a mighty way? But he hears that, and guess what? He takes off running. He takes off running for his life because of this woman who says she's going to kill him. Do we do the same thing? Do we forget the amazing things God does in our life? And we throw a pity party sometimes. But here he goes, and he goes under a broom tree, and he says, take my life. What? Wait a minute. Like 2 days ago, you called down fire from heaven. You defeated 450 prophets of Baal, and now you're saying, take my life? God wasn't done with Elijah yet. He sent an angel. Comes, shakes him, wake up. I made you some food. And it wasn't angel food, okay? So before you thought, okay, a couple of you got that. But he made him some food. He gave him something to drink, all right? And that's where we pick up right now. We're in 1 Kings 19. Starting in verse 9. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Hello, Elijah. What have I been doing in your life? What are you doing in a cave? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Listen to this. To hear the voice of God, you must first take the focus off of you. Listen to that. What's the first thing Elijah says? I have been very zealous for you, God. I am the only one left. Of course, that wasn't true. Elijah didn't know that. But here's the problem. We walk through these doors on Sunday morning, and here's our focus. What is the church going to do for me today? That's backwards. Because we come here to serve a risen Savior. It has nothing to do with us. We come here to serve God. Our prayer should be, God, how are you going to use me today to accomplish your will? Step aside and let God be in control. We do that every day, though. We do that in our everyday life, whether we're at church or not, right? When we go to our jobs, we're at home. It doesn't matter. The focus is always on us. And when the focus is on us, we miss the blessing that God has for us because we can't hear what he's saying. We should be saying, how can I be used of God to impact somebody else's life today? I love it when I hear of our people being used of God. I told you about that family who lost everything in a fire. We wouldn't have known about it had it not been for one of our church members who went by to minister to that family and called us and said, hey, listen, this has happened. That is when you step aside and you let God be in control of your life. Because, see, you're looking for opportunities to minister. You're looking for opportunity to be Jesus' hands and feet. We must remember, we come to church to be fed and directed. We see here Elijah, he's just like, God, you don't understand. I've done all this stuff for you. I've done all this. And now look where I'm at. Why is Elijah where he's at? Is it because of God? No, it's not. God didn't tell him after he killed the prophets of Baal. It doesn't say the voice of the Lord spoke to him and said, go hide. Did it? We've seen all along where God speaks to Elijah and he does what he says. But here, God did not tell him to go hide. That was something he did on his own. And we find that we get ourselves in trouble when we try to go in our own direction apart from God. But here it is, he's trying to convince God. God, I've done all this stuff for you. I'm very zealous for you, God. But I want you to take my life. Well, that doesn't make sense. How zealous are you for God if you want your life to end? And he goes on and says, your people don't listen. They don't obey, and I am the only prophet left. And now they're going to kill me too. We can't be too hard on Elijah because the same thing happens with our faith, right? We have mountaintop experiences with God where he does an amazing work, and then we forget all about it, and then we're down in the valley. I'm amazed sometimes how God can bless somebody's life. They can bless somebody with a job, bless somebody with a child, bless somebody with all kinds of blessings. But then yet they forget what God has done. And I think so many times our biggest problem is we attribute all those things to ourselves. And it has nothing to do with us. And we forget what God has done. May we never forget. Number two, to hear the voice of God, he must have our attention. Look at verse 11. God says, go and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. Have you ever been on a mountain and there's been a bad windstorm? I mean, this is God, though, okay? So that has nothing compared to what Elijah just went through. But this says God passed by, and there was a giant windstorm as Elijah is standing on the edge of this mountain. And it goes on to say, it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Yeah, you got to remember something. Elijah has seen some amazing things from God. And I think what happens a lot of times is when we see amazing things from God, we expect everything to be amazing that comes from God. I'm talking big. I'm talking super. That we forget that God's in the small stuff too. But Elijah had so many amazing things happen that in order to get his attention, God had to use a windstorm that was so bad it tore the rocks from the mountain, and an earthquake just to get his attention, to get his focus off of himself. You know, sometimes we don't want God to get our attention, do we? Sometimes things happen in our life to get our attention that we don't want to happen. But the reason why they happen is because God's been trying to get our attention all along and we have not been listening. And so sometimes it does take something big to get our attention. Elijah had seen God do so many amazing things, and when God wasn't doing spectacular things, then Elijah was losing his focus. God was trying to teach Elijah that he was God in the big and in the little. And I think it's a lesson that all of us can learn as well. God's not only in the big things, but he should be in our everyday life. The little things in our life, God should be the central focus of. Those things that he blessed you with, your children, your job, your spouse, your house, everything the Lord has blessed you with, he should be the central focus of. I don't know about you, but it's a scary world we live in today, especially when you're raising children in it. And it is so important that your children understand the importance of a relationship with God. We as parents are number one in teaching our children the ways of the Lord, not the church. We as parents are number one in teaching our children the ways of the Lord. You know, we are so blessed as a church to be a part of the Good News Club. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we go into three schools in Joshua, an after-school program, and we teach them the good news of Jesus Christ. We can go in there and we can read the Bible. We can teach them stories. We can memorize scripture. And that may be the only Jesus these children get. But thank goodness we have an opportunity to do that. Don't only serve God when he's making blockbuster moves. Make him your central focus. Then you'll realize that he is always doing something amazing. Are you saved today? Tell me that's not something amazing. Do we share that with other people? Do we tell people of the amazing things that God has done? When we listen, when we hear the voice of God, and we obey the voice of God, there's always a second to that. You can't just hear the voice of God and that be it. There has to be a response to the voice of God. And we see it time and time again in the scripture. We see Moses, who leads the Israelites out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, on dry land. Why? Because God told him and he obeyed. We see Noah, who built an ark. Everybody thought Noah was crazy, but he was doing it under God's direction. And what happened? He was able to save his family because of it. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they won't bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar has made of himself and worship it. And when they're brought before the king, and he says, I'm going to give you one more chance. You know what they said? We don't have to answer to you. Pretty bold, isn't it? But what was greater than that is the response to that was, our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, I will praise the Lord. And what did God do? He delivered them through the fire. Why? Because lives would be forever changed because of what happened in that furnace. We see Peter. Oh, Peter. who would stick his foot in his mouth sometimes. Anybody here do that? I do. Right? He tells Jesus, I will go to you with you even unto death. Jesus says, no, you won't. No, you won't. Before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times. Oh, no, I won't do that. I mean, I'm zealous. I can see Peter saying this just like Elijah. I'm zealous for the Lord. I'll cut a guy's ear off. Right? But when the time came, what happened? He denied the Lord three times. But he listened to the voice of Jesus when he came back. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I like you a lot, God. That's what he said, the Hebrew there. I like you a lot, God. He said, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I like you a lot, God. Then feed my sheep. And the third time, Peter finally got it. Peter's a little slow sometimes. I am too. Okay, I can sympathize. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he goes, yes, I love you. I agape you. He goes, then feed my sheep. And what happens? Peter preaches at Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. Why? Because he obeyed the voice of God. It's not enough just to hear the voice of God. You've got to act. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. You know what that scripture says there? All those other voices you hear, you need to shut out. And you need to listen to the voice of God. Number three, to hear the voice of God, we must be still and quiet. Look at verse 12. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. He got his attention, right? He got his attention until Elijah was standing there and heard the still, small voice of God. Why do you think it is that God was in the whisper? I think it's because, like I said earlier, Elijah was used to God doing the big things. He was used to seeing God do mighty things. And you know, sometimes when God uses us in a mighty way, we get a little puffed up. Do we not? And sometimes we have to be humbled a little bit. And he wanted to make sure that Elijah knew that he was still in control and he didn't have to be loud about it. Elijah had called for lightning, and he had called for fire, and he had seen a national revival. But what Elijah did not see was that in the quiet moments, God was still at work. How often do we pray, and when we say amen, we're right back to what we were doing? We never take time to listen to what God has to tell us. I've used this illustration many times. When I used to do carpet cleaning and restoration, I'd hop in the van, and as I was driving, I'd be praying. But as soon as I got done praying, I hit the button to the radio. Not ever once giving an opportunity to listen to the voice of God. Let me tell you something. You know what busy stands for? Being under Satan's yoke. Listen to that. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. If you're too busy to spend time with God or to listen to the voice of God, there needs to be changes in your everyday routine. Going back to kids, since I'm a children's minister, I can do that, right? You're teaching your children by the way you're leading your life. Listen to that. You're teaching your children by the way you're leading your life. If you're too busy to come to church, you're teaching your children church and the worship of God is not important. It's true, is it not? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. God commands us to be still so he can get our attention. So we're not so busy that we miss out on what it is God is trying to tell us. The point of God speaking in the still small voice was to show Elijah that the work of God need not always be accompanied by dramatic revelation or manifestation. Divine silence does not necessarily mean divine inactivity. Has God ever told you to wait? You're like, yeah, but I ignore them. Nobody likes to wait. That's why they have two windows at the drive-thru. That's why they now have two little microphone things out there for you to place your order. So you don't have to wait for the car in front of you. You can just go on the other line. We get into a society where it's always go, 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 go. And I'm telling you, God does some amazing things when we are still before him. Zechariah 4:6 tells us, that God's work is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Meaning that the overt displays of power are not necessary for God to do his work. Number four, to hear the voice of God, we must be humble. Look at verse 13. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. An act of humility by Elijah as he wraps his cloak around his face. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing worse than a puffed up Christian. Hear me. There's nothing worse than a puffed up Christian. Because you will accomplish nothing for the will of God if that's the kind of person you're trying to be. Why? Because God resists the proud. We must be humble before God. We must understand every good and perfect gift we have in our lives is from the Lord above. We didn't do any of this on our own. We are not self-made men. We are not self-made women. First Peter 5:6 tells us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Let me tell you, that exalting does not happen here on this earth. That exalting happens when we go before him in heaven. And you know what we're going to do with that exaltation? We're going to lay it at his feet. But the reason he wants us to be humble here is so that others may know who God is. Because if you're a puffed up Christian, you're not showing anybody the love of God. You're showing them your love. We're not here to see your love. We want to know the true love of God. We see that Elijah later gets taken up in a whirlwind and does not experience death. You think that's an exaltation? Yeah, I think so. You see, what's amazing is God still uses us when we're in our valleys. Notice that. I didn't say God put us in that valley. God didn't put Elijah in this valley. He put himself there. And most of the valleys that we go through, we put ourselves into. But here it is. God didn't let go of Elijah, and he's not letting go of you this morning. You may be in a valley right now, but God is still there with you. You just have to be still and know that he is God. And you have to listen to his voice and the direction he has for your life. The true spirit of humility is a pure dependence upon God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Then and only then can we truly be used by God. I'm going back to the Good News Club. I love our volunteers in the Good News Club. Because here's their prayer. We've made ourselves available so that God can use us. Let me tell you something. If you want God to use you, It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. Because God can do so much more in your life than you can in your own. And these people are great because they're humbled before the Lord and they say, God, we just want to be used by you. And you know what? He uses them. Miss Carol, I'm putting you on the spot here. How many salvations do we have this quarter? 65 salvations through the Good News Club. Once again, it's not about any of us who work in the Good News Club. It's not. It's about a God who can do amazing things when we're humbled before Him. We're still before Him, and we hear His voice in our lives. Don't ever say, I can't do that. I've had people tell me that before. I can't help in children's ministry. I'm not equipped for that. None of us are. Amen? You ask the teachers around here. But God is the one who equips us. Because if we're trying to equip ourselves, we're going to fall short. And we're going to mess up everything God wants to do. Elijah had seen some amazing things happen. He had been a part of some amazing things. Why? Because first, he heard the voice of God. And second, he obeyed the voice of God. And even though he got to a point where he didn't want to hear from God anymore, God still got his attention. Let me tell you something. You will never get so far that God cannot reach you. Hear me. You may be here today and you say, you know what? I hadn't heard the voice of God in so long because I've been so far away from God. You will never get so far from God that he cannot reach you. Be still before Him today. So we close our eyes and bow our heads this morning. Just like I just said, I think there's some people here today who would say, you know what? I've never heard the voice of God because I've never given my life to the Lord. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Because just like we sang about earlier, the Lord is coming back. And we don't know when that is. But I'm telling you right now, it says today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to challenge you to come front, grab my hand, and say, I need the Lord. Do not pass up this opportunity this morning. But I believe that there's a lot of people here today who would say, you know what? I haven't heard the voice of God in so long. Just remember that He's always been there. It's not Him who's moved, it's you, but He can still reach you where you're at, but He's not going to leave you there. And maybe you just need to come to this altar this morning as we start this new year of 2018. Maybe you need to come forward this morning and say, you know what? I want to start afresh and anew. I want to grow in the Lord this year. I want to set aside all the distractions that keep me from focusing on God, and I want to give Him what's truly His. You just come to this altar this morning, you just pray. There may be some here today who are visiting, and you're saying, you know what, this is where I want to come, be a part of a church family. We're not perfect, but God is still using us for His glory, and we're seeing Him do mighty things. I invite you to come today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you that you are a God who does spectacular things, but you're the same God in the still, small moments. Father, I pray that our hearts are turned to you this morning, that we understand that everything we have is because of you, and there is nothing, God, in our lives other than what you have done. And we give you the praise for that this morning. And I pray, God, that our focus is on you this morning, that we may hear your voice, but not just hear your voice, but obey the commands you give us. I thank you for this body this morning. I just pray right now in this time that you will work as you alone can. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want David, if you'll come front, we can have some of our deacons and some of the men of the church come up here. Everybody else just stand. you come today, you respond to the message the Lord has laid on your heart this morning.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep